chapter 1. And we want to just read one verse tonight, verse 21. Judges chapter 1 and verse 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you tonight that when we know you as our Savior, that you hide our souls in the cleft of the rock. We thank you for the rock that was smitten for us. And we thank you that because he was smitten on the cross of Calvary, the water of life flows freely to whosoever will, who will come and take of the water of life freely. We thank you for your offer of salvation tonight that is to whosoever will. We thank you for this service, and we pray that you would teach us from your word tonight the things that we need to see and hear, that we might serve you faithfully in this world in these last days. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought that tonight we would be able to finish our thoughts here in the book of Judges, specifically finish our thoughts concerning the failures of the second generation here in the Promised Land, but I'm not sure we'll get quite that far tonight. Last week we looked at this 21st verse, and we read there that the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. And what we saw is that the first failure concerning Jerusalem was Judah's failure. We see in verse 8 of this chapter that the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it. They'd smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And the words that we noticed in that 8th verse were the words had fought and had taken and smitten. All of those words are past tense. And they're referring back to what had happened earlier. And we read about what had happened earlier in Joshua chapter 15, where in that chapter we find the history concerning the portion of the land that was divided to Judah. And in Joshua 15:63, we read, "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day." And so when we put these two verses together, we get the whole picture of what happened. The children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem. They had taken it. They had smitten it with the edge of the sword. They had set at least some portion of the city on fire. But they did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. The wording of this 8th verse here in Judges chapter 1 is so instructive. And the Spirit of God has written Judges 1:8 so that it fits perfectly together with Joshua 15:63. Look at verse 8 here, if you will. There's something that I want us to notice. "Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem." That's a place. "And had taken it." That word "it" refers back to Jerusalem, the place. "And smitten it with the edge of the sword." Again, that word "it" refers back to Jerusalem. "And set the city on fire," the city of Jerusalem. Every reference in this verse is to the city. Every reference in this verse is to the outward physical place, Jerusalem. There is no reference in this verse to the people of Jerusalem, the Jebusites. That's why this verse in Joshua 15:63 fits so perfectly together. Joshua 15:63 tells us what happened to the Jebusites. It tells us they were spared. The Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah, could not drive them out. The Spirit of God has written these verses to teach us something about ourselves. Judges 1:8 shows how Judah dealt with that which is outward, if you will. How they dealt with the city of Jerusalem. And when we read Judges 1:8, on the surface it looks very good. It looks like obedience. But it's not obedience. I'd like for you to keep your place here and turn back. It's not very far, to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. And notice what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 16. But of the cities of these people, the cities belong to people. But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, the Lord says that he is giving these cities to Israel for an inheritance. Now we know there were some exceptions as far as the destruction of them. And he tells his people concerning these cities, thou shalt save nothing alive that breatheth. Cities don't breathe. People breathe. It's the people that they were destroy. They were to destroy. Verse 17. But thou shalt utterly destroy them. And notice who they were to utterly destroy. Namely, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and notice, and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And why were all these people, and in the context of what we're looking at, specifically, why were the Jebusites to be destroyed, utterly destroyed? They were to save nothing alive that breatheth. Why? Verse 18, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. It wasn't the city of Jerusalem that was to be set on fire. It wasn't the city of Jerusalem that was to be destroyed. It was the Jebusites that were to be destroyed. And Judah didn't do that. Judah was willing to deal with the outward manifestation, if you will, of all that was vile and refuse in the city of Jerusalem. But when it came to dealing with the source of all that was vile and refuse, when it came to dealing with the Jebusites, the source of all that was vile and wicked and idolatrous and rebellious, dealing with the people who God says, I don't want them to teach you their abominations, Judah could not drive them out. And I want to say something about the word could in Joshua 15:63. When we read these words, when we read those words there, Judah could not drive them out. The words could not are not suggesting a lack of ability or a lack of strength on Judah's part, because God had given them the land. God had given Judah the land. Judges 1 and verse 2, the Lord said concerning Judah, I've delivered the land into his hand. There was nothing that they lacked to keep them from driving the Jebusites out. But they could not. And I think those words could not are telling us that when it came to utterly destroying the Jebusites, Judah could not bring themselves to do it. And you know something? We're just like them. How many times in our lives are we willing to deal with the superficial, the outward? How often are we willing to deal with the outward manifestations of all that is vile and wicked and rebellious in our lives? We'll give up this. We'll stop doing that. We'll fight against these things and even fight against them with the edge of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And we'll make great fanfare. We'll do all of these external things. But when it comes to utterly destroying the Jebusites. When it comes to utterly destroying the flesh, when it comes to putting the old nature to death, we're just like Judah. We just can't bring ourselves to do that. We're just like Saul, who went out to deal with the Amalekites, and God said, you're to utterly destroy them. And Saul destroyed all that was vile and refuse. He spared the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen. And he spared Agag, the king. And that's exactly what we see here with Judah. They just couldn't bring themselves to destroy the Jebusites. We just can't bring ourselves to destroy the flesh, to put it to death. And so we let the flesh live. And it can be said of us, I believe, as it's said of Judah here, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. But the flesh dwells with the children of God unto this day. Because of our lack of resolve to die to self and put it to death. Now, I'd like for us to go back to Judges chapter 1 again, if you will. And verse 21, because maybe you're thinking, when are we going to talk about Benjamin? This verse 21 doesn't mention Judah. It says, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Here we see the children of Benjamin dealing with the Jebusites. And we might wonder why Benjamin would be involved in this. Well, we won't take time to turn to it. But in Joshua chapter 18 and verse 11, we read that the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families. And the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. Now, it was no accident that these lots fell this way. Benjamin and Joseph were brothers. They were the only children that were born to the wife that Jacob loved. And that was Rachel. And it's no coincidence that Benjamin's lot should lie right next to Judah's lot. Because it will be Benjamin and Judah who will be the two southern tribes who will be united religiously and politically when the kingdom of Israel splits between Rehoboam and Jeroboam after the death of Solomon. We read in 1 Kings 12:21 that when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin. These are the two tribes that are going to make up the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, with Jerusalem as the capital. And so both of these tribes, by their geography, by their relationship with each other, and with Jerusalem on the boundary between them. And what we read in Joshua 15:63, the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. And what we read here, the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Both of them, Judah and Benjamin, had a part in Jerusalem. And so what we read here in verse 21 is perfectly consistent with what we know about the relationship between these two tribes. And Benjamin, as we see here, had the same failure that Judah had. They didn't drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. And the results was that the Jebusites dwelled with the children of Judah and the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. And it's so easy to read those words and pass over them. I've done it many, many times without really thinking about the implication of them. And that's what I want us to do in the time that we have left. Because it's a lesson about compromise. Folks, compromise. And that's what we have here in Judah and Benjamin. They've compromised with the Jebusites. They've compromised with them, and they've allowed them to live among them. They've allowed them to dwell with them as though this can happen without any consequences. But there are consequences to compromise. There will ever be consequences for compromise. And the consequences are far-reaching. The consequences may not be readily visible, but they'll come. And we'll see how far-reaching and how far out in the future that these consequences come. If you'll turn over to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5 is an important chapter because it's here in this chapter that David becomes king over all Israel. And this book is such an amazing book, such an incredible book. The way that the Spirit of God has written it to teach us. I want us to notice very carefully what we read in here in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 6. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites. I want you to notice that. That jumped off the page at me yesterday. Now, why doesn't it say the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto Judah and Benjamin and the Jebusites? That's the way things were left back in Judges chapter 1. We just read that the children of Judah dwelled at Jerusalem and the children of Benjamin dwelled in Jerusalem and the Jebusites dwelled with them. And the language there sounds like there's no problem. There's this peaceful coexistence. They're all dwelling together and everything is fine. If that's the case, why doesn't it say that the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto Judah and Benjamin and the Jebusites? Why does it say that the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites? It says that because the Spirit of God is teaching us something. He's teaching us that who you compromise with is who will eventually dominate and control you. He's teaching us that when the people of God compromise the Word of God, they will always lose. Not sometimes. Not every now and then. Whenever the people of God compromise the Word of God, they'll always lose. It won't happen overnight. It may take a long period of time for it to happen. It does here. The date of the chronology in my Bible at Judges 1:21 is 1425 B.C. The date here at 2 Samuel chapter 5 is 1048 B.C. That's 377 years. And over that time frame, we go from three distinct groups being mentioned in Jerusalem. Judah and Benjamin and the Jebusites. We go from that to only one distinct group being mentioned here. The Jebusites. Judah and Benjamin would not drive out the Jebusites from Jerusalem. And over time, who is it that took control of Jerusalem? It's the Jebusites. They took control of Jerusalem until there is no mention here of Judah and Benjamin. Folks, this is exactly what happens when we fail to deal with flesh. This is what happens when we refuse to die to self. This is what happens when we try to live a mixed life. We're going to have one foot in the world. We're going to have one foot in the church, one foot in the world, one foot in the narrow way. The world will win every time. This is always the end of compromise. Look at churches and schools and ministries. churches and schools and ministries that say, well, you know, look, we prefer to read and preach from the King James Bible. We are going to take, we just are not going to take the stand that the King James Bible, this Bible that's translated from the Textus Receptus, the received Greek text, that's translated from the Masoretic Hebrew text. We aren't going to take the stand that they're the very words which God has preserved down through the centuries. They're the exact words of the originals themselves. We aren't going to take that stand. We'll never take the position that there's only one good Bible in the English language. And so if you prefer another version and you want to bring another version, that's fine. Folks, that's not driving out the Jebusites. That's sparing the Jebusites. And the end of that compromise is that a ministry that today has the King James Bible and these other versions in a period of time, don't ask me how long it'll be, but in a period of time, that church or that school or that ministry will have nothing but these other versions of the Bible. Same is true with music. So many churches have compromised. They're trying to have this mixture of music. They're trying to be broad-minded. They're trying to appeal to the old people who like their traditional songs, and they're trying to appeal to the young people who like the new contemporary Christian music. They're trying to have the songs and the music of Judah and Benjamin, if you will. They're trying to have the music and the songs of Zion and the music of the Jebusites. They're willing to dwell together, but I'll tell you where they'll be in time. The only music they will have is the music of the Jebusites. You'll go to that church and you'll find exactly what David found here in the sixth verse. You'll go there and you'll not find the music of Judah and Benjamin. You will not find the songs of Zion. There'll be no mention of them. Only the music of the Jebusites will be there. And what's true of churches and ministries is true of individual believers. Folks, if we fail to deal with the flesh, if we fail to utterly destroy it, if we fail to die, put it to death every day, if we compromise on how we talk or how we walk and where we walk and where we sit, as we were talking about this morning, over time, not necessarily tonight, not necessarily tomorrow morning or next week or next month, but over time, the flesh will overcome us. And we'll be controlled and we'll be dominated by it. This is ever the pattern of compromise. It's the pattern that we see here. David and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. They're the inhabitants of it. They're all that's mentioned. No mention of Judah and Benjamin. And what's interesting, no mention of Judah and Benjamin in spite of the fact that Saul of the tribe of Benjamin has just been on the throne of Israel for 40 years. And yet there's no mention of either Judah or Benjamin. That's how completely the Jebusites were in control. Because who you compromise with is who will eventually control and dominate and rule over you. And notice the attitude of the Jebusites here. Look at verse 6. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither. Thinking, David cannot come in hither. The Jebusites are full of pride. They took care of Judah and Benjamin. They never fired a shot. They never drew an arrow. They took care of Judah and Benjamin through compromise. And their attitude is, as we see there at the end of verse 7, David can't get in here. Why, even the blind and the lame could stop David and his men. What pride is being manifested by these Jebusites? But they made a mistake. They made a very serious mistake in their assessment of David. Notice verse 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, The same is the city of David. And David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. David had a strategy for defeating the Jebusites. Had a strategy for taking Jerusalem. The strategy was to come up through the gutter. If you look that word up, it means pipe. It refers to a water pipe, a water conduit that would bring water into the city. Hezekiah built one about 330 or so years later. You can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 20. He built a water system, water pipes to gutters, if you will, to bring water into the city. And David's men came into the city through this water pipe. And they got past the blind and the lame. And they took the city of Jerusalem from the Jebusites. But I want us to think about the language of this 8th verse for just a minute. And David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. The Spirit of God has written this verse in a way that causes us to do something that we don't really like to do, and that's think. He's written it so we have to think. He wants us to think about a question. Does David hate the lame and the blind? Is that the kind of man that he was? Is that what these words are telling us? Well, of course not. David didn't hate the lame and the blind. If David had hated the lame, he would have not sought out a young man by the name of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was Jonathan's lame son. If David hated the lame, he would not have found this young man. And he would not have done for him what he did. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 7 that David said to Mephibosheth, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Now folks, that's not a man who hates the lame. David didn't hate the blind because he loved the law of God. And the law of God said in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 14, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but thou shalt fear thy God. Deuteronomy 27:18 says, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. David didn't hate the lame and the blind. He hated the Jebusites. He hated their pride. He hated their attitude of heart that said even the blind and the lame can keep David out of the city and can keep him from taking the city. But I want to suggest a thought to you. I believe there's something else that David hated that's represented by the Jebusites, that's represented by the blind and the lame. The Jebusites, at least in the context of our study there in Judges and in the context of the dealings that Judah and Benjamin had with them, the Jebusites speak to us of the victory of compromise over the people of God. The victory of compromise over the people of God. And the blind and the lame speak to us of the way that compromise comes about. Blindness comes to the people of God when we refuse to see the plain truth of this book. And when we refuse to see the truth of the Word of God, the blindness that results lead to the lameness of walking in our own way and walking according to our own will. Blindness and lameness lead to compromise with the Jebusites, which leads to defeat in the Christian life. Defeat for individuals, defeat for churches, defeat for ministry. And the words of this eighth verse here are worth noting. Particularly the words there, the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul. And in the context of the things that we're talking about here, blindness came to Judah and Benjamin when they refused to see the truth of the Word of God, when they refused to take hold of His promise of victory. And their blindness to the truth led to a lameness in their walk. A lameness in their walk that produced a walking in their own way and walking after their own will. And them deciding, we're going to spare the Jebusites. And the result of all this was compromise. They dwelt with the Jebusites. And here comes David. Here comes David, the man who gets victory over the Jebusites. The man who gets victory over the lame and the blind. They're hated of David's soul. And those words, hated of David's soul, bring to mind two verses. Two verses that we ought to write beside this eighth verse. Look over, if you will, at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We don't know who wrote Psalm 119. There are those who think that it was David that wrote it, and I certainly wouldn't argue with them or wrote a portion of it. But it doesn't matter. These words in 2 Samuel 5:8, the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, they bring to mind two verses. The first one is Psalm 119 and verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. And then if you look right across the page, it's Psalm 119 and verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Notice the language here. All thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And what's the result of that? I hate every false way. I believe that's how we understand these words back in 2 Samuel 5 and verse 8. I think it's how we understand the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul. Folks, do we hate the Jebusites? Do we hate the Jebusites and the victory of compromise that they say, that they so often win over the people of God? Do we hate the blindness of disobedience to the Word of God in our own life? And the lameness that it brings, the lameness of our own walk and of our own way that leads to compromise in our life. Do we hate that? Do we esteem all the precepts of the Word of God concerning not some things, not most things, but all things to be right? If we don't, then we'll never hate every false way. There'll be a false way here and a false way there and a false way over yonder that we'll spare. And the false ways that we don't hate will be the false ways that we tolerate. And the false ways that we tolerate will lead to the blindness and the lameness of compromise and dwelling with the Jebusites, just as Judah and Benjamin did. We're thinking about these generations there in the book of Judges. We're trying to understand the third generation. But I believe the dangers of the third generation began with the failures of the second generation. The compromises of the second generation became the standards of the third generation. And it can happen. It can happen to you and me as individual believers. It can happen to a body of believers. It can happen to this church. We need to be like David. May the Lord help us to be like David. May the Jebusites and the lame and the blind be hated of our soul. May we not just be hearers, but doers and livers of the words of the psalmist. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. David hated every false way. And he drove out the Jebusites from Jerusalem. 377 years. The little compromise that we read about in Judges 1:21. The little compromise that we read in Joshua chapter 15 and verse 63. These things that seem so harmless on the surface. 377 years later. And before that time, we're just catching up with it there. Judah and Benjamin are not even mentioned. The Jebusites are in control. May the Lord help us to think about these things tonight. I think they're critical things as we live in these last days. Father, we thank you for the incredible book that we have in our hands. We thank you for the way that you've written it. We thank you for the way that you've put it together to cause our minds to think, to muse. And Father, we pray that we would be those who think on your word, not for spiritual entertainment, but to see the very dangers that we face. We face the same dangers. We face the same failures that Judah and Benjamin faced. A reluctance just can't seem to deal with the flesh. We just can't deal with the king, Agag, the king of the Amalekites. We just can't deal with the Jebusites. We'll deal with the outward, the peripheral. Stop this. Don't do that. Father, help us to deal with the root of the problem. And we pray that you would bring us face to face with it every day. We want to be a joy to you in this world, as we were talking about. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We want to be a joy to your heart. We just ask you to help us in this coming week to walk circumspectly, to walk in wisdom, to walk in truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.